Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, everyone. A very special broadcast today. Welcome, Dr. Paula Price. Are you there, Dr. Price?
I'm on now. I got the mute button.
Okay, there she is.
I am glad to be here today. It is a special Paula Price Show, and I have a wonderful guest, an interviewer, and powerful woman of God who's on with us. We were talking earlier this morning after the Supreme Court decision, and we decided, well, she definitely let me know that so many of our prophets and kingdom leaders would want to know what's next, how we got here, and where do we go from here. Based on that, we decided to bring you a special edition of the Paula Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you take a moment before we get started to text your friends, go on Facebook and say Dr. Price and Prophet Apostle Duan Holmes Rawlinson will be addressing the Supreme Court decision. You do want to get it firsthand, but realize this. Don't forget, you get an opportunity to come back a little later today and around the clock to listen to it and pass it on to your friends. Having done that little bit of housekeeping, let me officially welcome you to the Paula Price Show, Apostle Duan.
Hey there. I'm excited to be here. And you're right. It should be an interesting show considering we were talking about it earlier and said, hey, you know what? Let's just get on the Blog Talk Radio right now and spread the word and let people know what's going on, why it's going on, and why we're in this position and where our stand is. I think this is it's necessary for us to speak up and speak out and then explain kind of what the ramifications are for this, if you will.
And we do need to know what the ramifications are, and also we need to know where to go and how to handle it. So I want to say, we were talking, Duan, remember before the call, we were talking, and I said, we have got to ourselves repent. Because let's get real. We're on the phone today, and we're giving God's people some quality information. Your expertise in media, your background, and your experience in this subject matter, I'm sure your research, because I know that you are a researcher, and your own political take on some of this stuff. We never got together to do that. I know that I have tons of data that I needed to have addressed and don't know what day we were going to do it. And one of the things that we are going to have to deal with today is that God says we must humble ourselves and we must pray. But he said we have to repent because there's a lot we could have done before today. But I got a piece of information in between our call that says maybe we can have another kind of prayer thing going on. Don't know. But I will say this much to everyone who is listening. The Lord said, I'm not done. He said, I haven't moved yet. So we need to, you know, anchor our hope on that as we go into digging into some of the things that we are going to face in the future if God lets this thing go the distance. So I'm going to open it up to you, Apostle, to say what it is that impacted you when you first got the news, and then what kind of feedback have you been getting from your followers?
Okay. I think when I got the news, you know, one of the first things that I did after I really digested it, I kind of chuckled, but it was a chuckle because I said, I need to speak with Dr. Price really quick because what made me think this is it's interesting, but again, you and I both say it's not surprising because we foresaw this, but the impact comes when we recognize that there's a reason that it was able to take place, and could it be that we, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, everybody, were not in position, that we haven't really been doing the right thing, and we talked about that. So what impacted me and the most was that fact, because I had to admit that maybe I was doing my own agenda prior to this point at the, you know, at the level that we really need to be. And what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Yes, I deal with gay people. I deal with Christian gay folk and folk who think that they have demons and all of that. And so I've been working with people on a regular basis, trying to get them delivered, all of that other kind of stuff. But have I been working on standing and saying, hey, you know what, let's get the prayer warriors together, let's get everyone together, and let's legislate in the spirit before it legislates in the natural. But the other thing that I really, God really put on me and where my heart began to break as well, was when I recognized that we in Christendom have accepted everything else. So why would the world not come and say, well, look, they accept adultery. I mean, you got preachers. Yeah, I'll say it, preachers of L.A., everything else. It makes it look like shacking up, adultery, and all that other kind of stuff is widely accepted. So why wouldn't we accept this? Because in Scripture, it clearly says, you know, God says, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy drunkards, all that. It says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So why do we put so much more weight on homosexuality in the church, but we don't put that same weight on adultery and everything else that's happening in our pulpits? Why don't we put that same weight, and then why don't we stand? Because obviously right now I believe there's been an acceptance of everything that's perverted. There's been an acceptance, and because we've accepted it, whether or not we know people are watching, what you have to understand is they are watching and they are ruling as well.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and it just thrilled me when I realized that we have such a meeting of the minds this morning when we were covering that, because, you know, God has said to me, maybe a year or so ago, I said, well, God, why aren't you moving? I mean, because how many of us, I know you have to agree, the saints are calling, well, why won't God do it, and why did God allow this? And so let's just jump right in and deal with this huge elephant on the altar. Okay, this is a huge white elephant on our altar. Why didn't God do it? And he said to me, he said, so you want me to deal with the sexual sin you don't like? He said, so you don't like this. Now, you like your little 13 and 14-year-olds dating and having sex. You're getting condoms. You put your girls on birth control pills. Your little girls can get pregnant, and you don't want them to have children. You go and sneak and let them have the abortion. He said, you turn around, and you turn around, and you got your dating site, the Christian dating sites and the Christian mating sites. And so you want me to move on the one you don't like when you didn't care about any of them. But what you didn't know, says the Most High, that I always knew that this was the end of the road. This was the ultimate objective, and you should have known that. And if you didn't know, you have my spirit in you. You're fond of preaching. You don't need any man to teach you. You have the unction on the inside of you. So you're fond of teaching those kinds of things, but you don't want to deal with them. You yourself allowed them to rename adultery the affair. You did that. You allowed them to rename fornicating, dating, and moral failure. You allowed that. So now you want me to rally my forces around because you finally hit one that you can't stand. I mean, God's like, nope, we cannot be hypocritical. Our God is an all or nothing God. But I want to say something about homosexuality that we need to have said since, you know, we've got this day to say it. The first thing I need to tell you is that when God says that no sexually effeminate, and really no person obsessed with sexual sin is going in the kingdom of heaven. So we act like, you know, well, we don't know if homosexuals are going to heaven. Hey, how about adulterers? They're not going either.
Amen.
How about fornicators? They're not going either. But the people don't know why. I mean, does God have this whole big thing where he's afraid of sex? What's God's issue? God's issue is this. He established sex for three reasons. And when we get to heaven, none of those reasons exist. I don't care how much the homosexual says Jesus loves me. That is not going to keep us in or out of his world. Jesus has a whole kingdom that he has condemned billions of lives before now on this very issue. He can't change because we feel passionate about it, because then he's going to have to go to hell and pull everybody out that he already sent there. See, There's a whole big thing that we forget. We act like God just started this when we got born, when 2000 came in, or when the 19th century came in, or whatever we're doing. So let me just tell you this. They do not have sex in heaven because heaven has no marriage. So whatever this legal constitution is on earth, it won't travel because in heaven there is no marriage. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. And we need to be clear on what the saints are okaying. So if you're talking about, well, we think that's how it should be on earth, that's fine. But when you get to heaven and you get a new body, that new body will be a sexless entity. It will have no facility for you to have sex.
So answer. Okay. Here, so look, this, you know, I'm getting excited now. All right. So here, let's answer those three questions, because one of the things that we want to do right now, folks, is just educate you, because, you know, And I am one, I will not debate with folks. I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you my stance. But guess what? I'm not about to argue with you, fight you, and do all that kind of stuff. Now, if I have to fight you, I will. Know that. No.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not about to. So let's talk about those the three reasons that sex was created. Can you go through those with us right now?
I can, and I will share them with the acronym of BED, B-E-D. So you know me wonderfully, and I do a lot of things with acronyms because it helps people understand it. So the acronym for why God started sex, and using appropriately BED, is to breed, to exchange, and to deposit.
Love it, love it, love it.
So the reason God ordained sex was for him to breed his divine nature in his vessels of clay.
After his own kind.
So multiplication is there. Breeding is the principal, primary reason why we do this. The second one is to exchange. That means that the life of one being is exchanged for the life of the other. And in the marital context, the sexual act keeps the soul and the immaterial side of both partners alive and vibrant so they can continue to breed. And not just breed children, breed compatibility, breed similarity, breed relationship, breed communications. There are certain things that you don't agree on, but as a husband and wife, if you maintain a healthy sexual life, you can come into terms with a lot of things, and it keeps you from dividing because division leads to divorce. So that's the second one. And the third one is to deposit. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 6 that sexual sin, sex period,
yes,
is the only thing you do that's taken inside yourself that either corrupts or constructs. So
say that one more time.
The sexual act, he said the only sin, of all of the sins that humanity can commit, there's only one sin that they take within themselves. Every other sin passes through. That means every other sin that you could do to your body, smoking, drug, whatever, while it may weaken you, sexual sin accomplishes the BED principle, breeding, exchanging, and deposit.
Amen. That sounds good, and that sounds very easy to remember, breeding, exchanging, and deposit. And guess what? It all makes good, logical kingdom sense. It makes kingdom sense to us. I'm sure it makes kingdom sense to you. But here's the deal that we have to fight with all the time is, why would God create me this way? And right now, what everybody's doing, let me tell you what's about to happen on the news across America and across the world. Here's what's about to happen. You're going to see all kinds of media outlets speaking with homosexuals, you know, same-sex marriage folks who are celebrating all over the country, and that's going to look good. Then you're going to have, on a local scale, they're going to find local couples who will speak to that matter. And then they're going to also watch. They're going to find Christian folk who are homosexuals who say they're Christians or what have you, and believers, they're going to find them and they're going to start doing that. But then you might see that on a Sunday morning. And so now the question is going to be, this is what's going to happen across the country, they're going to be, can we find a pastor who will speak to this? Can we find, you know, someone who can stand against this? And can we find someone who will stand with it? Because the object of the news stories that's getting out there is to show some sort of contrast, okay? Because when we show contrast, then we can show both sides of the story. But now the question is, will the real pastors, prophets, apostles, and teachers, will they stand up, or will they sit because they are indebted to the government.
I'll tell you what, here's the issue that I will tell you to answer your question, and I love the question because it's important. The first thing I want to go in answering this question is nobody has ever died from not having sex.
You sure?
More people have died from sex than not having it. More people have been sexually abused. More people have been sexually molested. More people have caught sexually transmitted diseases and died. Sex has killed more people than abstinence ever has.
That's good.
So that's the first, let's lay that out.
And
so
that's a fact.
I mean, I was just on the CDC. They did an article just came out a couple of weeks ago. I love the FRC people, but they said it's $16.9 billion is spent on sex, mishandled, misappropriated, corrupted sex. We are paying the freight for that, and we haven't even included the price tag on same-sex marriage. So nobody has ever had a problem with sex, so it is not a genuine dysfunction or deformity, whether you have it with man, same sex, or heterosex. Doesn't matter. There is nobody. You can't live but X amount of days maybe without water. You need water. You need some air. You need food, so you need that. But you don't need sex, and nobody has yet proven that fact. So if you have to be abstinent, you can survive abstinence. If you are incompatible with the gender that God has created, you can survive that. And the whole homosexual push has been, if you take the sex off the table, we got two buddies living together. We got two girlfriends living together. We just got some friends. When you throw sex in, now you're bringing in the whole other element that they're standing on. So I want to say that. Second thing I want to say is that we have to figure out what God made them that way. Because, see, we have grown up in a Christian country, at least with such a Christian consciousness in America, that when we say God, everybody thinks we're talking about the same God. But if you go on the sites, the homosexual sites, they will tell you the deities that they're serving. They will tell you the deities that they are using to usurp and unseat Jesus Christ. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up, because we did it. In our events, every year we do our prophetic forum, our prophetic event.
Yes.
We show it. And so that's the second thing. So now the next thing. So why did God make me this way? If that is how you ended up, and let's say, we're supposed to be married and whatever. First of all, God does not believe every man and every woman should be married. He did not ordain that. Mm-hmm. He never did. So we need to understand that. So let's say that's the case. God put his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and he said, you must be born again.
Again.
The reason he said that is because he knew that every one of us were born under the Adamic curse.
Mm-hmm.
We were all born with perversions, with codes and scripts he never ordained. But the minute Adam let Satan walk into his being and not keep hiding out in that tree, Satan brought the same death into Adam that God put on him before he kicked him out of God's world. So the death that humanity has did not come from the Creator God. It came from the serpent in the tree, and everybody knows that. Now, what happened is that we haven't made it make logical sense because we've been just telling it like fairy tales. So I just want to let you know my answer to settle this. Number one, people do not die from having sex. Number two, more people have died from having sex than have died from abstinence. Number three, the price tag on just unregulated and immoral sex is killing our country already. Mm-hmm. And we're about to pay that again. But can I just say one more thing, because you know my soul is all excited. Let me tell you
please,
one more thing.
Please.
When we put this same sex in, who's going to police them to make sure that the benefits they're claiming are genuine? For example, they can defraud us because sex is a private thing. So today you have sex with your friend. You can slip and have sex with somebody else. You can have heterosex tomorrow, and you can have homosexual tonight, and then you can have quadruple sex. We can have everybody in the bed, and all of it, because it's all based on sex, and that's all it's based on. Otherwise, we had a whole big dupe thing that they played on us about whether or not a man should marry a man. Why would you marry anybody if you're not getting a pleasure out of it? And the only pleasure that is common across the board in marriage is sex.
Sex. But here's what the foundation of what they are saying now is as well. And I say they, I'm talking about you know, President Obama, Supreme Court, all that. I mean, if you look at Obama's post 4 hours ago, it says, love just won. Love just won. Marriage equality, now the law of the land. And so here's what we all have to be prepared for. Yeah, someone's going to come up in your church and say, hey, we love each other. Why can't we do this? You know, where do we stand on that? But what do you say when they say love just won?
Well, because they don't mean love just one. They mean sex just one. And they're now saying, we have legalized you to have sex with the one you want. So they're not talking to love, because if we were talking love, this thing would have never gotten as brutal as it's gotten. You're talking about these people. Let me just say this, because I think this is so valuable in what our discussion today. You know, the homosexuals have pinned their dysfunction, their option to perform dysfunctional sex, because they're not dysfunctional, so they don't have to have it. So they have pinned their options for dysfunctional sex on every other minority. But I want to ask you a question. This is a question that has not been dealt with, and that is, name a minority who got liberty by the government, who was able to sue people the next morning, who was able to fire people from their job the next morning. Name one. Black folk, we're still trying to get a fair shot in court. We still we can't even afford a lawyer. These people bought a whole institution and established a legal institution to weaponize the law against the American people. Why? We never had that. The Latinos still trying. Even the Middle Eastern, no other minority group. That's why they were not a genuine minority, because they were already in power. They were not a legitimate minority, and they're not marked. They are not marked. We're marked as minorities. They're not marked. They are publicized. They say, I have sex with the same person, and that makes them do it. Okay, so I'm going to put on some wardrobe. And I think I said this to you before in a conversation. Homosexuality is 100% cosmetic.
Okay, you know, I'm going to say that's one of those statements that make you go,
It's 100% cosmetics. They dress up for it like you do on Halloween and everything else. They dress up for it, and they tell you the reason they dress up for it is because of how they choose to have sex. They go and get transgender surgery. Why do they do that? To have sex. Okay, so they could dress up for it. They got everything they do to establish this particular practice. It's 100% cosmetic, so much so that even though they have transgender surgery, trans orientation, whatever you want to call it, they have to have hormones to shut down what nature says they are. And when they go to do surgery, they still have to be treated as the person they were.
Right, they were, exactly.
They were. So it's 100% cosmetic. These people have pulled a mighty hoax on what used to be a mighty nation.
Hallelujah. All right, so here's what we have to address. I think we said we were going to talk for 30 minutes, but you know what? Do you know we only have like 8 minutes left, technically? Now, here's what I know, because I know we're not idiots. Here's what we both know. We know that on the line right now, there are people who are just listening in to see what we're going to say. And so right about now, we know there are lots of people. You guys here, look, there are lots of people who are probably a little bit angry as well. And let me do my sidebar. It's spring break, and so I have kids who are now running around the house as well, and a dog, because I said, I got to do this. So that's a sidebar. But we now have people who are angry, upset, who are listening to us as well. But you also have some church people, church folk, church leaders who are saying, what do you do now when all of a sudden those who are in your congregation come out to you and say, this is me, this is my partner, and will you marry us? Will you visit us in the hospital, do different things, like, you know, the same thing? Will we give them the same equality and same treatment that we give husband and wife?
Well, you know, I think that for us, that's kind of like it's a little late, the horse is out the barn, because the truth be told, if we had not condoned the adulterous members, and if we had not condoned the accommodated, is a better word, if we had not condoned and accommodated the adulterous members, the fornicating members, we wouldn't be at this place today. because the answer is still sexual sin. It is the church that decided that homosexuality was a disease, was a biological issue and not a sexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're stuck there. So now those churches who have already set a precedence for dealing and accommodating sexual sin, they're probably going to be locked. They're probably going to be stuck. Those who have not made that a practice, in other words, we've called adultery adultery, and we've called fornication fornication, and we have not said just because the world has made it popular that we need to live with it. If we haven't, for those of us who have not done that, then we're not doing anything that we haven't done. It's a sexual sin. It is, as far as the let's separate the church also. I think right now we need to separate the church from Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's do that. That's good.
Okay, because see, we have the church has its own culture and it has its own laws and it operates in the here and now. Jesus Christ is the King of Glory. He has to filter and vet whom he will let enter his Father's presence and live in his Father's kingdom forever. Now, considering the fact that Revelation 12 says that they cast out the dragon and one-third of the angels, he is not going to let them back in, whether they come in through professing Christians or whether they come in through crying saints or crying sinners. He does not care. God, Jesus Christ, is not dealing with theology. We are. He's not dealing with theology. There is no theology in heaven. There is the rule of the king. And there's the word of the king. So now, having said that, the churches who have passed these laws, they did it as mortals, and they'll have the fate of mortals. The Lord Jesus established what he did as an eternal divine king for immortals. And so those who are born again were born again to be immortals in another world. That's why he says once we're born again, we're no longer just citizens of this world. So let's separate the two. So when people ask me the question, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and introduced Christianity, who brought it to the planet, he did not invent it. He took a piece of eternity, and he said the kingdom of heaven has come near you, and the kingdom of God has come to this world, and on and on and on. So he brought this thing. We didn't get a chance to fix it or revamp it or reorientate it. That he brought what was working for eons. We can't change this just because we have six people sitting up there who got job security, so they don't care. Okay? We can't change this because of that. This is what we die into is what Jesus Christ brought to the planet, not what we reinvented to make Satan happy.
That's good. That's good. I understand that. But We know that it's, yes, it really isn't about everything that you said about, you know, happiness and all that kind of stuff. But let me ask you this, because this is what I'm sure, as some people are going into shock and as some people are saying, right on, I'm with you, et cetera. What do you say, what do we say to those who genuinely say, you know what, I know, I understand the kingdom of God, I understand the word of God, and I understand what I am caught up in or the lifestyle that I'm choosing to live based off of what I believe is, you know, is me, is not cool with the King of Glory. How do you handle that?
The bottom line is, like anything else, if you go to another country, they don't care about our American laws and government. One of the reasons we established the UN was because all countries are sovereign. Well, if America's a sovereign nation and we stand on that and we brag on that and we say, if you're going to stay in our nation, this is what you're going to do, how much more the God who created nations? God is like, I don't do that here. First of all, people act like everybody's going to want to go to heaven and still live like this. A lot of folk are not going to like God. They don't like God here, which is why they vote them out.
So, right.
You know, we just assume everybody likes him. And we assume, like, you know, when you hear the Unitarian stuff and you hear the inclusionism stuff, everybody going to go to heaven. What makes you think everybody wants to go? A lot of people don't want to be with God. They don't like Jesus here. If you don't like the Christ that introduced this thing to the planet, because, see, homosexuals didn't introduce Christianity. You see how that works out? It didn't happen that way. So we assume that everybody likes this man, but let's just say they want to go. Let's say they want to go. If they really wanted to go, not just don't want to go to hell, because a lot of people just don't want to burn in hell. They ain't interested in going to heaven. They would be happy if God just lets everybody here to do what they want to do. That's their real heart's desire. So that's really it. They're not trying to go in a pristine environment dealing with the Lord. They don't want that because they don't like us. That's why they don't come to our churches here. If they don't come to our churches here, how they going to want to be up there with us there? They're not going to want to. They want earth to remain as it is. Let's start calling it what it is. Now, if that's the case, then you have to decide that it's worth your immortal soul. You need to believe it to the saving or the losing of your soul.
That's good stuff there. Believe it to the saving or the losing of your soul. And see, I always say that too. I always say basically, you know what, half of us even – many of us, I'll say us, church folk, you know, there's a difference between church folk and kingdom folk anyway, don't even believe that Jesus got up off the cross. So if you don't believe that he got up off the cross, then surely you don't believe that his will is to heal you, H-E-A-L, that's his will. His will is not for you to be going around, you know, busted, disgusted, sick, and everything else. And truly his will is to deliver as well, and his will is his will. So, you know, we definitely say the same thing, because if we believe that he really got up, there'd be so much more victory here on earth than we're even dealing with. But again, you know, we do what we want to do.
But let me say this, because that's important. But you understand, we said it's God's will to heal us. God said that if you go into his life, halt, maimed, cut up, beat down, and toe down, be happy that he let you win, because he has a new body.
Right.
Okay? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, this piece of clay doesn't mean a thing to us. We're trying to get the people that were in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world into their immortal self. That's what he's trying to do. And so we haven't preached the gospel the way it is. We have been so busy preaching the gospel of salvation, we've ignored the other 21 strands of it. Because there's 21 strands to that thing. So understand, don't go around it like the homosexual said, but I just won't serve a God that does that. God does not care. God's like, are you kidding? You're going to get old. You're going to rot. You're going to turn to dust. I'm going to make some new children out of your clay. Do I care? We have told people that we have presented a cupcake, mushy, marshmallow Jesus, and that's not him. He is not changed. He can't. Everybody listening to me today, this man cannot change because he's got angels in hell because of this. He's got devils in hell because of this. He's got people in hell because of this. He can't change because if he does, he has to empty out his entire judicial system.
Okay, so I'm hearing you. And I agree, but then answer this, and I need you to break it down. Remember, no, some movie, you know, I said, break it down to me like I'm a 4-year-old. I need you to break it down. It's easy. Break this down then. What does God is love mean?
God is love means God is, the reason God does what he does is not because he's trying to destroy humanity. He's saying the kingdom that I created is based on this emotion, not that emotion. And he said it for us to distinguish it, because before iniquity was found in that cherub, nobody had to say God is love. Everybody just knew love. Just like before the serpent deceived Adam, nobody had to tell. Nobody talked about death. Mm-hmm. Nobody talked about sin. Nobody talked about death, because that's what everybody was born into. Now God wants to let us know that our motivations doing what we do must be the same motivations for why he has his kingdom. But let's understand this. Let's break it down. Let's understand this. God does not love humanity so much that he's going to let eternity fall on our whims.
You might need to repeat that.
I'm saying God is looking out for number one, because if God goes under, all the rest of us are going to just die. Job said that if he should set his mind on it, if he should inhale his breath and pull back his spirit, he said all flesh would perish together and man would return to the dust. If God inhaled and said, I'm sick of y'all messing, we're going to have mass corpses in the street, because God is not going to let his world fall on our nonsense. And that's what we have never taught the church. So God may love us, but he's still not bringing infections into himself. You don't bring infections into your house with people you love. You don't bring your drug children. A lot of people put their kids who are robbing them and plundering their goods. You're not going to bring the child molester into the daycare. So don't act like we don't know what self-preservation is all about. Self-preservation began with God, and God's going to preserve God first. He's going to preserve his kingdom second, and then he's going to uphold his righteousness third. Now, after that, he's going to love on you.
Oh, my. I can't imagine what's going to happen once they start listening to this. This is good stuff, though. So do you think we've addressed most of what needs to be addressed in this moment?
I think so, unless we have Prophet Ashley sitting in the back room. There, I've got a question.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I'm having church all by myself listening to this. I think the question I would have is, first of all, thank you both, of course, for doing this interview today. The listenership is just off the charts right now. What should the saints do now? Now that we're here, what should our game plan be? How should we pray? What should we act upon? You certainly outlined how we got here and the double standards and everything. So what's now? What's next?
Apostle, you want to
address
that?
Yeah, let me say this, and this will lead, I know this will lead into what you're going to say. What I believe needs to happen now is, first and foremost, we need to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make a decision, and the decision essentially is what I told our congregation back on Sunday when we had to speak and address the travesty that happened in South Carolina. The deal there is, like both of us have always said, this isn't anything new because this has happened to the church before, but now because it's so prevalent and because it came in such a harsh way, here's the deal. We have to make a decision, and the decision is, are you going to stand for God? Or are you going to stand for the world? And I'll let you go on and carry the rest.
Well, the first thing we're going to have to do, and I have to agree with you, it starts with a decision. You know, Elijah said, if Baal be God, serve him. But if God be God, serve him. We have never been in a position where the gray area has been swallowed up by a hard line. We've been dancing on the gray area for a long time. You know, a little bit of white, a little bit of black.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why can't we all get along? That day is over. There is a hard line, and this line is not in the sand waiting for the waters of the sea to wash it away. This is a hard line in steel. You're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to be a Christian from heaven or you're going to be a churchian from earth, because that's the only options you have. So once we make that decision, the second thing you're going to have to do is, for your part, I don't care if your part was passivity, I don't care if it was apathy, I don't care if it was just quite a downright disinterest, you're going to have to repent for your part in this whole 20-year journey. And they're bragging about this 20-year journey has netted them success. 20 years ago, what were we doing as a church? That's the second thing. The next thing, the leaders, the people who's watching, was they're going to have to go to God and get on their face and say, Father, we have messed up on our watch, because this thing happened on their watch. These people said they worked at it for 20 years. What were our watchmen doing? For 20 years, they worked at this thing. So that's the next thing. After that, Ashley and I were talking about Huckabee's response, and what he said was that these people interpreted a constitutional statement. It has not yet been made law until the president and the Congress makes it so. So there needs to be a lot of prayer about how God's going to move in this matter. Now, we have a major issue in that context, because this president, who was put in the first term by Christians,
yes,
18 for the Christians. You realize what they did to Christ? Back then, the Christians turned on Jesus. This has been a runaway train since then. So there's a lot of Christians who are going to have to take the hit on this, because you put an Antichrist spirit in the White House, and you did it knowing he hated Jesus Christ. You did it knowing his mandate was to dismantle Christianity. And so that has to be addressed, whether they address it in their prayer closet, whether they address it in their churches, but they stood up and put this man in, and then put him in again. God gave us an opportunity to forestall this thing, and they put him in again. Now, you have to deal with it. We've got to have to look at that. So those are some real hard things in addition to just praying that God would do his own thing. We need God to bully the nation. We need him to push Satan back and push him back hard. God is going to have to do it. This president has broken more laws than a little bit. She already told us pushback is the way to go. We can take a cue from this guy and told us that. So then we need to do that. Then we need to start teaching God's people. First of all, leading them to repentance. That God, there needs to be repentance services around the clock for the next 10 weeks. All the church, God, we repent, have mercy. Repent, have mercy. Repent, have mercy. Oh, God, we messed up. Let's have some mercy. We're going to have some little more mercy. God, we repent again. Because I'm telling you, God spoke to me the day after Barack Obama became president the first time. He gave me this word. I had never heard him so incensed. He was hurt. He was incensed. He was, furious. And he said, I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for the one thing I want to get accomplished, he said, I'd let this run its course and I would be done with this nation. I had never heard him say that. He was furious, and that's when I knew he had turned his ire on the church. You can't find churches with Christians on sick as a dog, dying of disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was hurt that day, and he was grieved. And because he wasn't real to the church that's playing with his name, they did him like that, and they kicked him out. And they kicked him out. And I'm telling you, a lot of preachers, big preachers and Christians did that. And he said this word to those preachers and to those leaders, if you kick me out in your world, do you really think I'm going to use you in mine?
Mine, yep.
So now we have to go back and deal with that because we have to realize that we voted culture and not Christ. So now we have to go back and clean up some things. And we're going to have to do it by standing strong and taking it on the chin and taking our hits and taking our licks and going on to do what it takes to resolutely clean up the mess.
Amen, and keep it going. And so even on that note, let me also add one of the other most important things that we as leaders have to do is really get educated on the rules and laws of the land as well.
Excellent. Good work.
And that means, folks, you need to know what the rules are in your state versus what they are in the nation as well. You know, and know what's happening in your neck of the woods as well. So right now, we need to wake up in more ways than one, in the natural and in the spirit. And once we wake up, we've got to get educated and know this thing because, like we said earlier, the Supreme Court, that's the rule of the land. But what does my state say as well? And then how does all that work together? You got to get educated.
And we have to have kingdom lobbyists who do their job. And that means, you know, I've been following the FRC, the Family Research. I love those people. Mm-hmm. They're doing a great job, and there are others like them. But I need all of the saints to start backing these institutions. And the next thing you need to do, and this is what God said. I taught a sermon Sunday on the mystery of blasphemy. How many Christians say, I love scandal?
Yes.
Christians.
You're talking about that show, right?
Love and scandal, and then you want God to get involved. Okay, so now think about it, because we have become addicted to the blasphemies of this culture, and so much so we don't even call it blasphemy anymore. So we have to do a lot of reorientation of what's Christ and what isn't, what's real and what's not, because I'm telling you, we're kind of like when Israel was in Babylon. Nobody knew anything about Yahweh. What's his name again? We used to have one. Okay? And so we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to start training people in citizenship, both kingdom citizenship and then political citizenship. We're going to have to do a lot of education, a lot of reorientation, and that's along with prayer, et cetera. And if you will allow me, I would like to end this on a dream that I had that was, oh, my gosh, 20 years ago, over 21 years ago. And in this dream, I was brought into a church, and it seemed Lutheran, but I knew that it was just that because that's what was whatever there. But I was brought into the basement of a church. And first of all, I was over all of these churches, and this was in a little village area somewhere in Europe. I knew it was Europe because of the architecture. And God brought me in the basement of this church. And when I went into the basement of this church, I saw a class of people. It wasn't a large class, but I saw a class of people dressed in dark druid wear and dark witchcraft outfits, and they were being trained. And I watched them get trained. And then it came time for their graduation. And when they graduated there, and as soon as they passed the threshold of their classroom, their robes gave way to everyday wear. There were housewives, there were realtors, there were broadcasters, there were on and on and on. And those people were well trained to take the high seats of power. We're going to have to be, because we never had to fight for it before, because America started with Jesus Christ on a high seat, we haven't had competition. We've now got stiff competition. And I will say this as the last word, and then I will ask you to have the last say on our discussion today. And that is, wherever you allow witchcraft to reign, you will always have sorcery, drug addiction, and you will always have homosexuality, because the goddess fetishes are always about transvestitism and homosexuality.
That's good. And that's the truth, the truth, the truth. It's funny, huh? I'll be teaching tonight at Friday Night Fire on the spirit of Jezebel as well, and it fits in line with a lot of this, as you know.
But you know who our Jezebel is today?
Mm-hmm. Let me
Barack
see.
Obama.
Who
that's
you know
who our
what
Jezebel
I,
is today.
Mm-hmm. I have to, you know what, we got to talk after this, because I mean, everything that you're saying is in line with what, you know, God's showing me. But here's the other thing that I really believe needs to be said as well. Besides the lobbyists, we all talk about being in politics and God's raising us up, but when he raised you up, will you stand for the right thing, and can you stand for the right thing? Because I've seen a lot of our political people come, our so-called kingdom folk come into politics, and they act a fool.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They act a fool, and they represent God in a perverted way. And so what I know I had a dream on 2 weeks ago was more kingdom representatives coming into government. And so now is the time where you really have to know what he's assigned you to, get educated in that, and go forth in that, and stop being scared.
Exactly. And here's something else. To my intercessors in the body, all the intercessors in the body, all my prophetic intercessors, all my church intercessors, hear this. Before they were able to move this, those demonic ministrants prayed cowardice on the church. So you're going to have to start making praying courage on the body of Christ a priority. You have to pray off the spirit of fear and dread and intimidation, because that's how they silence us. And how did they do it? By making us feel bad about being Christians. So you're going to have to start saying, we call the holy boldness of the Lion of Judah alive in the church that he fought, and he fought with his own blood. I command the roar of the Lion of Judah to shake this planet and shake the saints, and to replace cowardice with courage.
That's good. That's the word. That's the word. Oh, my gosh. We've been talking about that for weeks. I'm so sick of just scared Christians. But anyway, let me not go there.
Ooh, so I'm going to ask you to just kind of wrap it up with what it is, because we had such a good conversation on the phone this morning, and I really want you to wrap it up and begin to say, where do we go from here in terms of us having done this particular broadcast, and then what to say to the people who would like to have more of this from us, or who would like to be a part of some sort of training, or even get training on how to set up the recovery plan.
That's good. That's good. Here's what the other part of this that we have to understand. One of the reasons that we got together today is because we knew a word had to come forth, but we also knew that doing it this way was going to be the best way. We called a flash broadcast and got on this thing, and as we heard Prophet Ashley say, you know, the listenership is high right now, but I anticipate that even the sharing of this broadcast is going to be higher. And what does that mean? That means also that we as kingdom people who are called to media, who know that God has given us authority in media and in arts, particularly even in entertainment, that means we have to take our rightful place. But the other thing is, and I'm just going to go here, you know, there's a reason that Preach got canceled and the Preachers of L.A. did not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and you know what it is? Age-old reason.
Say that again?
An age-old reason.
Mm-hmm. Please, can you tell us?
Yes, because we were able to see the problem with women going south on God, but we can indulge men going south on it.
Amen. And so here's the deal. Whether you guys want to believe it or not, I believe that there will be more shows like Preachers of LA. There'll be prophets. There'll be all of that. And I already know Dr. Price and I, we're ordained to do that kind of thing anyway. So I don't get caught up in debates about that because I know what God is calling us to. So one of the things that we're going to do as well is really continue to address these things on a regular basis. But guess what, folks? You've got to be able to address it as well, and you've got to be trained in what to say, what not to say, because the other thing that's going to happen is in the midst of your crisis and crises in the body of Christ, will you say the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
And are you trained to say the right thing? Because if you're not, it's going to blow up on you. But again, that's some of the things that we have to do. But we as a body of Christ have to be more supportive of our brothers, sisters who are in the media doing things so that we can see the kingdom. Now, yeah, I'm not telling you to go against your convictions, but I'm saying have a little sense. And see what's really happening out there as well. So, what's the next step in this? The next step is we need to keep on talking.
Yeah.
Keep on talking and keep on broadcasting.
Well, we're going to plan that. We'll get together after today's session. We'll look at the feedback, see what the questions are, see what the saints have want to do, and all of that, and then we will decide how to set it up. But the other thing is that she said something very powerful, support the media, but then support those who are doing it. You know, I've had this information for a lot of years, and you yourself know how much I've been blocked from even getting a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this devil was, it's not about them, it's the, this devil was serious about getting this in. And he uses a lot of folks. Make sure you talk to God about who's who in his kingdom, and you let him tell you and lead you to where you have to go. You can't jump into conclusions because Satan has a very sophisticated propaganda machine against God's light being shown in this darkness. You have got to fight for the light. It's not going to come easy. People, listen, in a lot of conditioning, we got children, they've conditioned you through education, they've conditioned you through television, they've conditioned you through movies. This is a real brainwashing that has happened, and we're going to have a deep wash of the consciousness of the body of Christ before we can know who's who and who can be trusted.
Right. And on that note, let me say this then. Just let me break it down. There's a difference between an apostolic and a prophetic voice versus a charismatic voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there is.
But that's a whole other broadcast.
Well, no, I'm going to say this because you should have left it alone. You should have left. I was ready to say goodbye. And here's the difference. The whole essence of an evangelist is to save the world at all costs. That's why we evangelize, to take the gospel to the world and to save souls. The apostolic and the prophetic are not against that, but their priority is to preserve the king's dominion and to protect the king.
Can you hear the applause in the background?
Yeah. And so, because people don't know the difference, neither one is wrong, but it's every man doing their share. So, as we've been doing our job protecting the king and his kingdom, then we wouldn't be here today, and the evangelist would be converting people from homosexuality instead of being subverted by their agenda.
All I have to say now, I guess, is thy kingdom come. Can I say that?
Yeah, and that will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because that's an important thing. So, listen, we had a great time. We're going to stop while we both are inhaling so we don't get on another tangent. I thank you all for joining. Remember, you can go back to blogtalkradio.com, Paula Price Show. You can listen to this again. If you feel passionate about what we said, share it with everybody. Make sure your pastors get it. Make sure your prophets and apostles get it. Make sure the intercessors have it. Send it to everybody you know. While we have this short window, let's flood the nation with this wisdom. Because there are politicians who are looking for information. There are politicians who want to get it right. And there are intercessors and there are business people and lobbyists who really need to know the other side of the story. So do your part. Be an evangelist for this time. Be an evangelist for this here broadcast. Until next time, God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us, Apostle Dewan, having this your way, doing this. the way God gave you to do it, and I am looking forward to us teaming up and having more discussion like this in the future.
I agree. Thank you so much. God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.